what would you say if I said that I could bring them back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might want to stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
The night when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
Welcome to St. John Forward Radio. Pre-recording again. Apologies to the fans of the live energy that this show usually has. It's a very disgusting Saturday, slightly afternoon. Wearing pants. That was a mistake. but we're here in the studio with guests who will be announced later. That's why we're not doing this on Monday. We got to get this hot scoop in. But they're just going to have to sit here and listen to me rant and rave for a little while. So we're coming up. It was Fringe Festival week this week. I didn't have a show this year. I'm taking the summer off just because it was very taxing last summer, but I think I'm going to make my triumphant return to the St. John Fundy Fringe Festival in 2019, assuming I get in. It's a lottery. I'm not sure if it's really a lottery or if they just say it is and they can still just kind of fudge it and cheat and pick the shows that they want. Who knows? I suspect that if there's a show that they really wanted to put on, it would get on. But who knows? But gonna try to get in the mix. I went to see Mandy Lynn Donovan and I forget the other guy's name, the Educated Assholes show earlier this week. And if you've seen Mandy Lynn before, it's exactly what you think it is. I'm not gonna say anything more. The only other show that I went to was on Wednesday. I forget the name of the girl that does it. She was kind of the darling of the festival last year. She had a show called Smashing, which I went to, which was well done. It wasn't really for me last year, but that was, she was kind of the belle of the ball. I think she won, some awards. Honey Garlic, unfortunately, walked away empty-handed, aside from the hundreds of dollars that I made in profit and the inflated ego. But no official recognition. But this year's show was called Bar Star. And like I said, so she had a completely different show last year. So this was new, at least since last year. I'm not sure how long she'd been doing it. Because it was, I liked all the pieces, and the idea of it was pretty good, just talking about how she used to be kind of a big drinker and has since given up the alcohol. And, of course, my dear wife May wanted to see that because, you know, she's been through a similar thing. So it was a well-written show, but it was very rough. It was still being worked on. She was, like, reading a lot of it directly off of a tablet on a music stand in front of her, and the individual pieces were pretty good, but it still needed some work, it needed some flow. I guess I was at a bit of an advantage last year, even though that was the first time I was doing the show. Like, 75% of it is stuff that I'd had opportunity to work out on comedy stages all the way in St. John and the surrounding areas over several years. So it seemed like this was the first week that she was performing it. In that case, it's fine. If this is something that she's been doing multiple times over the last year, that's reading the notes. We all know how people feel about that. But she was talking about her quitting drinking, and I guess something about it kind of resonated with me. She talked about how initially, Like she wasn't like a raging, full-on, traditional sense of the word alcoholic, where it's just the life is crumbling around you and like getting drunk every morning and going to every time as soon as you get out of bed and that kind of thing. It's more of a, you know, special occasion binge drinking thing, which is was May's issue and what a lot of people have that. But she talked a lot about the process of kind of, you know what, maybe I'm getting older now, I'm going to cut back, and coming up with different rules for herself, like kind of, well, if I don't drink for like 3 parties in a row, then I can just get crazy on like the next one and that kind of thing. And like, oh, I'm only going to get blackout drunk when it's a special night. And talking about how just kind of having to explain herself, like she was living with her mom at the time and being super hungover the next day, and the mom knowing that she's trying to cut back and like, oh, so you had a lot to drink last night. Yeah, but it was a special night. It was this thing. And then talking about, well, when's the last time you did that? And she'd give an example from 3 weeks ago. Yeah, okay. Well, what about this thing 2 weeks ago? Oh, yeah. And what about this thing last weekend? Oh, right. And just how she kind of made the rules for herself, but still found a way to break them. And, like, I'm not a big drinker, but I smoke a little bit of the weed, and I've been cutting back over the last couple of years, but that part of it kind of resonated with me because I know even recently I've tried to cut back even further, and I've come up with my own little, like, okay, like May and I, we take turns making supper and washing the dishes every day, so I kind of was like, okay, well, when I get home, if it's my supper night, I'm just not going to bother. I'm just going to get into it. And when I get home, I'm going to start supper. And then when we're done eating, I'm going to wash the dishes. And then we've got the night. So I was only going to smoke weed on like my non-supper nights and on weekends. Or like if we're out, I've got a Dungeons and Dragons night on Tuesday. That's kind of a thing. And so these are rules that I came up for myself that I didn't tell anybody that I was doing, which tells you how committed I was to them. That's kind of a thing. It's doomed to fail because, you know, if I don't say anything, especially to May, there's nobody to say, hey, didn't you say you weren't going to do this? So that rule didn't stick. And you know, I'd also gotten high on the way to see the sobriety show, which May was like, really? And I was like, shit. So it just got me thinking about it. And like, and you know, there is room for me to, like, it's not destroying my life. And for the most part, I enjoy it, but I just know I'm not going to stick to the rules. I could say, you know, I'm not, no more like smoking by myself at home. It'll be more of like a social thing, or like after I'm done doing a stand-up set as a bit of a reward, or oh, if I'm going to the movies, or if I'm doing this thing, and just exceptions. But I know myself, and I know that if I come up with a set of rules, I'm just going to come up with loopholes. And even like I've got a few grams left, I could have been like, you know what, once I'm finished what I got, that's it. But I just decided, well, that joint that I smoked on the way to the Bar Star show is the last one I'd smoked at this point. It's only been a few days. Don't pat me on the back too hard. I've got it in the house, and I haven't touched it. And I think I want to stick to it. I am going to miss it. I started in the early in about the year 2000 when I went to university, and you know, as immediately within 2 weeks of smoking weed for the first time, like, I'm gonna buy an ounce and I'm gonna sell it to my friends, and that was a disaster. I got ripped off and didn't make any money, and it was just immediately got taken advantage of, which should have taught me the lesson. I never went back to doing that, but you know, I enjoy the ritual of it, the grinding it up and preparing it and packing the bowl or rolling the joint or something. I like that. I enjoy it when I'm a big fan of horror movies. I find that's a good way. It helps me kind of commit to it, and like I always forget this. Not my plausible deniability. My suspending my disbelief. It's easier to get into it. I always, whenever I go to the States to see a concert, I'm always bummed out that I don't have any because I couldn't bring it across the border. And like last month when I went to the Impact Music Festival in Maine, I went up to stand up for a bit up closer to watch Black Label Society, and somebody handed me a joint, and it just made my night. It was just so much more enjoyable after that. So I'm gonna miss that, and I'm kind of bummed out that I'm not gonna get to participate in the legalization, and I wouldn't even be a criminal anymore. Maybe that's part of the allure of it too. But I don't get to go to the Cannabis NB store in October, so that kind of bums me out. But I think overall, it's not really adding that much to my life. I enjoy doing it, but it's a time suck, and you know, every now and then, like, if I get super stoned in my basement, I'll come up and, like, May will want to give me a hug, and I'll be like, leave me alone, I just got done getting high. And, like, well, maybe the problem isn't that my wife is too affectionate to me. Maybe I just shouldn't be stoned out of my mind. So I've taken breaks before, probably in the past 18 years or so that I've been smoking. I've gone like maximum 6 months at a time, and I didn't really notice a huge change, but I don't know. I might be a little more foggy than I realize. Maybe I'm using it to kind of numb myself, and who knows what clean and sober. I'm still going to have a drink every now and then, but who knows what non-stoned John Forward's going to be like. Maybe that's like Ken Patchy's eye patch on Bleach for me, which is a super nerdy, deep reference, which means I'm going to have some sort of a contest. If you can explain that reference to me and what I mean by it, whoever gives me the best version of that, send me a message on Facebook or contact me through my website or just have a conversation with me. Whoever can explain that reference the best to me, I'm going to give you all my stuff. I've got pipes and vaporizers and all sorts of paraphernalia. Contest time. Do your research, nerds, and we'll see how it goes. I don't know if this means I'm never gonna, like, if somebody passes me a joint, if I'm never gonna take the occasional puff, who knows. But trying to make a clean break, and I'm telling the fans about it, I've told my friends about it, I've told my wife about it, so hopefully you guys can all keep me honest. We'll see. But joining the show, right before they move off to work minimum wage jobs in a different province while also doing open mics, Sam Laidman and Matt Kanan are here in the studio. Hello, ooh, fellas.
What's up?
Yeah.
Minimum wage jobs. That's all I'm moving for.
Minimum wage in Ontario is as much as I make now.
Oh, is it? What? Yeah,
it's
okay.
14.
Oh, well, that's not bad. Well, like the cost of living.
It's like way higher.
Twice as much.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not as bad as it sounds when you realize that minimum wage is not that bad.
Yeah.
See, so I'm making less money now to pay more to live.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you've got a pretty nice place. Even with the two roommates.
We don't. Okay. Oh, currently? No, I mean, I know. I mean, once we move. Yeah, no, I pay next to nothing right now.
All right. Well, we'll get more into the game plan later, but we're going to play a quick song first, and then we'll come back with more Sam and Matt. But for now, I just got to say goodbye to my sweet ganja baby.
Heavy medicine. You see, my eyes are feeling red again. I'm bringing light like Thomas Funky Edison. Been in the desert for 47 days. Purple haze. The poison that I tasted never changed. Turn up the woofers so I can feel the beat vibrate. My belly like a bomb. I'ma need some heat. My back is sticky to me to the seat. Bare feet, tank top. Your shorts is on your knee. summer breeze. I'm feeling kind of fine. I'm rolling with my shorty all the time. Whining, grind, lovely, shake your behind. Cinnamon skin be bringing sin to my mind. But whether or not the weather's hot or the weather's cold, I'm up on a like a blanket with my horse so sorted. She can feel me like Coca-Cola. I'm the sweet thing, my girl, lollipop. She growing mad crops. She rolling herbs every day at about 4 o'clock. Tick tock, stack the hammer while the iron's hot. Ooh, girl, what you got cooking in the posse? Mary, Mary, quite contrary. How does the garden grow? Hydroponic, ultra supersonic. Does it grow naturally slow? Ganja beer, my sweet ganja beer. While I'm buoy, let me know where you stay. Ganja beer, my sweet ganja beer. Come with my body, how to take my mind away, of I want you. Yoo-hoo. Look what you gonna do. What you gonna do when the rain comes through? Round up the posse and call up the crew. $5 at the door and you bring your own booze. So call your neighbors cause they can come too. Be sure and bring your records cause I only got a few. So bye bye black sheep, have me in the wool. Yes sir, a nickel bag full. One for my partner, one for my crew. Some for my ganja baby, she needs two. Just like me, they want to be cool. Ganja baby, my sweet ganja baby. I love the way you love me, the way you miss me. Ganja baby, my sweet ganja baby. Don't make my body out, it take my mind away. Ganja baby, my sweet ganja baby. I love the way you love me, the way you miss me. Ganja baby, my sweet ganja baby. Body, I'll take my mind away.
And we're back on St. John Forward Radio here. Sam Laidman and Matt Keenan are in the house.
Yeah,
I'm breaking Sam's heart, quitting weed.
You're killing me, man. It. I can't believe you right now.
But you're
every other day, though. That was pretty impressive when you were mentioning that.
I never stuck to it. I didn't do it every day. Like, I was really good at, if I had a reason not to smoke, I could stick to it. But if it's kind of a maybe I shouldn't do this, like I've got no motivation for it, like any day that that I've got a stand-up show, like I wanted to keep my head clear, I could justify not getting stoned that day and it's fine because that's like the plan. Or like when I'd taken a break before, just between jobs, just in case I had to get drug tested or something, like that's a very concrete reason, but it's a lot harder to stick to when it's just kind of, maybe this is a good idea.
Yeah. Just have no plans. That's the answer. Just don't make any plans, and then you can stay at home and smoke weed all day. It's great.
Take a page from the book of Sam Laidman.
Yeah.
Just don't say noon is too early to wake up. And
well, even the not on a stand-up day, I would still find a loophole with that. I'd be like, well, if I get high before noon, by the time the show rolls around, I'll be pretty clear.
Well, that's the thing about weed. It's the best. You call it a time sink, but sometimes that can be a good thing. Sometimes you definitely want that.
Yeah, like if I'm just sitting watching something, I might as well. Yeah. But I don't know. I just feel like there, even if it's a few minutes here and there, even if I gain an hour a week, maybe that's more time that I can spend writing.
As long as you be productive with the time. But if you're not, if you just...
Yeah, no, mostly it was... I used it mainly like on weekdays as kind of a transition between like work and home in the same way that some people would come home and have like a beer or a glass of wine or something just to kind of, all right, I'm done that part of the thing. I'm just going to unwind here. But I don't know. I haven't been doing a lot of, I haven't written a lot of new stuff this year in general. Most of the shows that I've done, like I'm not repeating stuff over and over again, but I've been doing this for years now. So I've got enough of a backlog that I can kind of go into the archives and dust something off that I haven't done in a couple of years and, you know, add some tags to it and fix up some of the stuff because, you know, I'm a better comedian now than when the last time that I touched that thing. So I don't know. And again, it might be just maybe I've just got that extra, like I think I'm a fairly clever person overall. I still have dumb things that I do, but on the whole, but maybe that's just like running with like the weights on your wrists and ankles, and I don't know. Maybe
you're gonna come out of this like Nick Einstein. You're gonna be
watch your mouth, Sam.
Friggin' it's gonna be on the radio eventually.
What's wrong with Einstein?
So,
Jews or what? What's going on?
So, Matt Keenan, you've been pretty quiet. You're not a smoker. You're somebody that I assume everyone assumes that you do, but I'm surprised to find out that it's not the case. Why not? Is it you just don't like it, or
I don't know. I mean, I don't think I just ever did it enough to get past that, like, I'm too stoned to function phase. I just never...
Yeah, like, and I'm not going to be all righteous about it and act like this is a scourge on society and that everybody should stop doing. I just feel like I think it's causing, on the whole, more harm than good.
Well, if you're not going to do it, I'll do it. George Soros is making the weed turn the kids gay.
Okay. You've been listening to this is InfoWars.
Somebody had to say it.
But, I don't know.
And, I test once a year to make sure that George Soros isn't fucking with it.
Stay. More language.
Yeah, it's too early for me to...
That was a PSA. That was a PSA. You're supposed to say one PSA every hour, apparently. It's pay programmers.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome.
And, I don't know, maybe in a few years I'll come back to it. And, like, I am kind of disappointed that I don't get to participate in the official legalization. And it might be just with... The more selection there might be, like, the better that I can choose, like, the exact version of the weed that works for me might be better, but I don't know. For now, I'm trying to make a clean break. I might change my mind. Who knows?
Can't be talking about... That's already the seed of death there. We've been talking about this for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Already like, well, maybe it's not. Just, maybe. I do agree that...
This episode's going to end with all of us, like, hotboxing this room.
Commercializing it is dope. Your point on now you know exactly what you're getting. It is a nice touch. That's a nice touch.
Even, like, I've found... I enjoyed it a lot more before my BS prescription ran out back in January, and I could go to the dispensary. I really liked going to the store and having like all the selection and like this and telling like the bud tender, like
the bud tender,
this is what I'm looking for, and just to be able to, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I had to be able to pick, and like usually just buying the black market weed, you don't really even have the option of like sativa or indica. Even it's just like whatever the guy has.
Yeah, they'll tell you some made up name, but it doesn't really matter because it's the only one.
This is
going
to be an editing nightmare for me.
It's a beep button, you know, get a soundboard
there
going.
There isn't a beep button. I'm going to have to open up the file, and I'm going to have to highlight the word and paste in a beep button.
All right, I got it. From here on out, no more.
Yeah, it's just, like, I think I'd be fine if I could just cut back and just be reasonable and do it as a social thing. Like, I'm not getting drunk by myself at home.
Yeah.
But... I don't know. I just know if I don't make a clean break, I'm just going to find loopholes, and then I'm going to be back where I started. But
that's good. Taking charge.
Yeah, and I don't know. Maybe I'll get some material out of it. I could have a quitting weed bit.
That'd be your sober good time.
Yeah. And, I'm also hoping that I don't just drink more to compensate for it.
Yeah, that could be a problem.
because the two things I started drinking and smoking around the same time, and there's kind of a combo there that I enjoy. And generally, like, if I'm also smoking, I'll only have like 3 or 4 drinks, especially since May got sober. I'm more conscious of it there, but it's, if I'm not smoking, it's going to take me twice as much to get equally drunk, so I don't know if that's good. I know, like, alcohol is actually more physically damaging to the body than weed is, and is a bigger societal problem, I think, but who knows. But
yeah, I would just switch to meth.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah, that's not a bad... Seems like the move. I agree with that.
And it's... also, like, I haven't done it in a while. But I enjoy the psychedelics. I used to do it more often when I was younger. And that was also a nice pairing. I had a whole ritual with it. I would stay sober, like dead sober all day, and then take the mushrooms or the acid and like give it like an hour and a half until I can start feeling the tingling come in. And then I'd smoke a bowl and kind of kick it into high gear. I think the first time that I ever did acid without also smoking weed was when I went to Las Vegas like 6 or 7 years ago, and it just was a different experience. I didn't even think that it was working until I started looking at the stucco in the hotel room ceiling and like, oh, I am high. And then I went out on the Las Vegas Strip with a sign and just talked to random passersby for the night.
Really? I've never heard this story. That's a weird one.
Yeah, you have a bit of it. Yeah.
I don't know if I've seen it. Have you been to Vegas?
No.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of like homeless people. Like every 2 feet, there's somebody with a crappy like cardboard sign begging for money. So I made my own sign that said, I don't want your money. Just tell me a story. And I parked myself on the side of the road and harassed tourists and asked and just talked to people. And they were like, wait a minute, you don't live here? You're a tourist? So yeah, that was a fun night, but I don't know.
That's
just
pretty cool.
Just want to see how it goes. That's enough about me. We'll get back to you guys, but let's take a quick break. Who wants to play the first song? Who wants to set that up? Matt, you've been pretty quiet for this first chunk, so why don't you set us up with your selection?
I think I was drunk when I sent you it, so I think it's the Macklemore song.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I enjoy Macklemore because he doesn't rap about the guns and the violence. It's more...
Oh, grandma rap.
Meaningful. Yeah. But he'll do some silly stuff and then some serious stuff, so I kind of just enjoy that. And this is a song that's not a hit, so...
All right. I'm taking your word for it. I don't know any of his songs anyway, but I didn't recognize it, so we're going to hear Excavate featuring St. Clair. Who's St. Clair? Do you know?
No idea.
All right. Well, we're going to hear a bit of him, her, or them right now with Macklemore on
Politically Correct
St. John Forward Radio. And we'll be back with more Sam and Matt.
Fill my lungs up, pour my heart out, peel my bones away. Crack my window, shed my shadows, excavate my pain.
If I could read the world, my notebook and these thoughts in it, would they judge me or love me for what I've written? Trying to get closer to spirit that enters the body. It's the best of like I'm not in it. In 50-something years, I won't be here. There'll be a kid with some headphones covering his ears. Walk around the hallway, dreaming of ideas. Find himself in the sound, cause music is a mirror. What you looking for? What you heading towards? What's your name worth? When they mention yours? When you leave here, are you stepping forward? Can you remember your intention when they question yours? They're gonna question yours. They're gonna question yours. I've been to rock bottom, and I'm headed north. If you don't love yourself, what's the respect for? If you don't love life, the check won't correct yours.
Fill my lungs up, pour my heart out, peel my bones away. Crack my window, shed my shadow, excavate my pain.
Vision of my death, surrounded by people I love and respect. In the baby blue Cadillac curse, pulling me around the block that I rep. The greatest fear that I've ever kept is dying with regrets. Like, was I just alive for success? Or did I leave a better life for the rest? My greatest achievement isn't the dollars. My greatest achievement isn't the followers. My greatest achievement isn't the accolades. My greatest achievement is my daughter. Waking up in the morning, being a father. Watching the light kiss her eyelids. Hearing her sing along the chants. And being like, yeah, that's my kid. The light started to glow, and the saxophone bunk call train started to blow. Tending lane in the snow, turning my headphones, couple miles to go before I run out of road.
Thanks, my lungs up, pour my heart out, peel my bones away. Grab my window, shed my shadow, excavate my pain.
Study every part of me. I'm an open book, no, I don't mind. Sometimes I'm hard to read. Just flesh and bone, I'm headed home. But this life is so hard to leave. But who am I when they cut the lights and nobody's watching me? Hold me up into the light and study every part of me. I'm an open book, no, I don't mind. Sometimes I'm hard to read. Just flesh and bone, I'm headed home. But this life is so hard to leave. But who am I when they cut the lights and nobody's watching me? Gemini.
Up in here.
We're back on St. John Forward Radio. That was a... wasn't paying full attention to it. The conversation keeps going behind the scenes, people, but seemed very touching. That Macklemore, he's a thoughtful man.
That so, light piano music.
Yeah, so we can't do... you want to give me a station ID? This is Sam and Matt. You're listening to St. John Forward Radio on local 107.3 FM.
I try and
FM.
Say it at the exact same time.
Or are we going to go back and forth?
No, one word at a time. This
is
Sam
and
Matt. Nice, and both of us.
That didn't work well.
And you're
listening
to
something
local.
What show are you on?
One of
St. John Forward Radio.
Right. That was good, right?
That's perfect. You guys
That's
nailed
a good
it.
One, actually.
You guys should be applying for broadcasting.
You should record that.
You already did record it.
Well, shit, yeah, I guess. Keep that, though. Cut that out. Use it for later. You're welcome.
Yeah,
so you can remember us.
Way better than Brian Godso.
Mm. I don't know. I think Brian Godso's the winner so far of the IDs that I've recorded. That one turned out the best.
Yeah, at least he's won Brian Godso something star in his power.
I thought there was one there. So you say the station name and then the show or something like that. They were just asking what they were supposed to say, and that was the ID. Like that one.
Yeah, that one. I just took it out. That was I would think I was explaining to somebody else. Which I've done a few. There's a Splood one. There's a Johns Cove Nielsen one. Shane Ogden did one. There's one with Arif and Mark and I. I like that one too. Where Arif's being creepy.
Oh yeah, that one. Yeah, that's a good one.
So you guys are making the move. You've probably talked a lot about the we can talk more about the comedy end of it, but logistically, how are you going to feed yourselves and put yourselves a roof over your head? What's going on with that? What's the logistics of and where are you, I don't know. Tell me about the non-comedy logistics of the move.
It's fucking. It's.
That was close. Almost.
It is fact.
It's a fact that the Toronto housing scene is just a disaster, man. It's crazy. We both have Airbnbs for the first month just so we can get on the ground and try and figure out from there. Mm. Man, people like in these renters groups like just having breakdowns. Like, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to get a place. I got to go to this university on September 1st, and if I don't get a place, I might not get to go to school and blah blah blah, and like a lot of sob stories and like.
Well, Travis Lindsay was saying he went to Humber a few years ago. and he couldn't find a spot for September 1st, so he was staying with people that he knew in Brampton mm-hmm. and taking a three-hour trip each day to get to to get to school for the first month. But he said by October 1st, the dropout rate for school is through the roof, so a lot of places clear up.
Yeah, I betcha.
Yeah, it's probably more than, like, going to UNBSJ, for example, no offense to the building that we're in now. Like, if you want to screw around for a year, and, well, I don't know if Colonel Tucker's is even open during the day anymore, but there was a fair number of people that just never went to classes and just went in there and played cards all day. And if you're still living at home or even, like, a reasonably inexpensive rental situation, then you can kind of float by on your student loan or whatever, but you guys don't have that that cushion to fall back on.
Nope.
You're still young fellers, but you're not 18-year-old morons.
Close, though. Real close.
Yeah, just
20-something-year-old morons.
Yeah, just add 8 years to it, and same thing.
So how much does an Airbnb go for a month in Toronto?
Mine was pretty decent. It was $30 a day, so it ended up being like about $1,000 after tax, which is, I mean, more than you would want to pay for an apartment.
Well, $700-800
You know.
Yeah, but he's not paying. That's just a bedroom in someone's apartment.
That's true too. Right. But I mean, that's for $700-800 That's what I'm looking for just a bedroom. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's expensive, but not as expensive as you'd think. So
I'm paying more. But I have a basement to myself for the first month, so I don't have to share anything with anybody.
I was surprised how cheap it was in Montreal to get a room when I went for the week. Like, it's more expensive than that, but it was like $53 a day or something, which is like a it might have only been like 20. I don't know. It cost me like $230 for 6 days, which wasn't too bad, especially compared to a hotel.
Yeah, definitely. Airbnb is awesome.
Yeah, you get what you pay for. Like, mine was kind of sketchy, and there was some suspicious splotchy stains on the bed
spread. Oh, yeah, I saw that.
I'm sure it had been washed, but...
hotel quality.
And, like, the shower just had a tuft of pubes in it, and just... You know that floating, foamy wad of, like, spit or whatever that goes down?
Yeah.
It was an apartment that was shared. There was, like, three rooms in it, and there was kind of a common... I didn't use the kitchen, but I technically could have, but the fridge was just full of old stuff. There was, like, a chicken thigh in there that was there when I got there, and it was still there when I left, so who knows how long that had been in there. And there was laundry machines, but there was stuff in it all the time that was there the entire time. I'm sure I could have sent a message, like, after, like, 2 days of, like, hey, can you clean out the drain and the thing? They're usually good about it if you actually ask them to do something, because they don't want to get a bad rating.
But,
but still, that was a nice room, and there was, like, a walkout small, like, concrete patio that was right outside my room, and that's where I just hung out a lot of the time. I could sit on the patio and smoke weed, and I recorded all those podcasts that I put out there, and just watching people walk by, it was fun. It was stinking hot and sweaty as hell, but
just like right now, Jesus Christ, you should see the studio we're in.
Yep, we're gonna smear the Titanic hand across the window.
Yeah, it's gonna fog up. Nah, I mean, I don't know what I'm walking in with my Airbnb. You were talking about sharing it with people. I'm gonna be sharing it with like three people.
Yeah,
three other people and me.
Yeah, I never interacted with the owner, or well, not the owner, the main person that owned the thing. Like, his friend was watching the place for him, so I gave it a little bit more leeway because that person didn't really know what they were doing, and I didn't want to leave a bad rating just because they got their screw up friend to take care of things for a week.
Four stars, not enough stains.
That's
just, semen is preferred.
That's slang for jazz, everybody. That's what the kids are saying.
Give them the old
jazz stains. what's the work situation? How are you going to pay your bills when you get up there? You're certainly not going to be making any money doing stand up for who knows. I don't know how, like, we're kind of spoiled here. Even getting $10 at an open mic is a luxury that most people don't have.
Yeah. I was thinking punks under the Queensboro Bridge for a nickel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
that's minimum wage right there in Toronto.
I kind of have things are starting to come together on a couple things, but nothing yet. So
I had an interview on the phone the other day for McDonald's.
Nice.
Yeah, we're killing it. Mine might, it was going to be the stock room of a food court, so Booster Juice, Tim Hortons, you know, killing it.
Yeah, well, you guys are brave doing it. Like, I've considered moving, like, but I think I would only, my life right now is fairly comfortable. I've got a house that, like, my same house as close to any kind of an urban area would probably cost, like, minimum like $1 million, or I have no idea what the housing, like my house that I have now, I think we pay is like 125,000 or something, and I can walk home from uptown. It takes me like 45 minutes, but to be like 45 minute walk from downtown in Toronto in a house to yourself, that's a pricey thing. If I was going to move to a bigger city to have more stand-up opportunities, I would probably be more conservative about it. And like, if I could get moved there through work or something, so I'm already set up and I just already have a decent day job when I get there. I don't know.
Is that even in the cards?
Well, the company I work for now is national, so I guess if that opportunity came up, I could. Like when I was working for JDI before, we had an office in Mississauga, and they were hiring a fleet manager for that position, and I kind of thought about it, but I kind of looked at the housing market and the amount of boost to my pay that they would give me would not be in line with the increase in the cost of living. And even like Mississauga, I don't know how far that is outside of Toronto.
It's like an hour, but you gotta take the GO train. That's what I found out when I was talking to Scott Belford. He's like, you can't even take the subway, so it costs more. You're looking at $12 a day just to get downtown.
Yeah, so that's kind of a pain in the butt. And I don't even know where I'd want to go. I'm like, I guess getting back to the more stand-up end of it. Like I said, not even just money-wise, but stage time. We're pretty spoiled around here. Like, I don't know how. Starting in Toronto seems like a nightmare. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I don't know how it works. Like, do you guys think that you're going to be starting from square one, or does anybody going to give a shit that your big shots in New Brunswick?
I think I've built a few connections over the past year or so just from being around Yuck Yucks and talking to the guys and doing guest spots or middling or whatever and just hanging out. So I do have a few people, and they're like, hey, I run a room, or if you, you know, let me know, and I'll throw you some time.
Yeah, because even going out of town in places and just having to, compared to, like, being able to give myself a 30-minute spot at O'Leary's whenever I feel like it, and then to go to a big city and be like, you got 3 minutes, and you're number 17 on the lineup at this open mic. Like,
I'm kind of excited for that, just where, like, we've spent the past almost 2 years just building material. Yeah. Just to go down and only do short sets and know that you could just pull out different stuff constantly.
Yeah.
And
well, both of you guys know how to write jokes. Like, I have a hard time with the 3 minute spot.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Three minute would be.
Take your long shit down and like whittle it down to something. It would be like the opposite of me, where, you know what I mean? Here's 10 30 second jokes, you know, or whatever the math would be. With you, you'd have to take like a long story and sand off all the fucking edges. I could see how that would suck for you.
Swears.
Oh man, I'm get off the radio. It's a podcast world, right?
Yeah, I know. I like the limitations.
He likes the extra seven people that listen to it.
Well, yeah.
Accidentally.
I can pretend that thousands of people are listening to it live. Nobody knows otherwise.
We can pretend that thousands of people listen to our podcast as well, but.
Yeah, well, you know what the numbers are. But yeah, I don't know. I think. Well, even if nobody knew who you were and you did have to start at the beginning, you'd probably advance faster than somebody just starting because you've got the experience.
What I was thinking was like, I don't really have the same connections he has. Like, I just don't like hanging, and also I haven't done as much yucks as him.
Yeah.
But just the fact that I have this extra experience of doing longer sets. There's showcases that there's things.
Yeah, well, you'll be better than somebody who's just doing it for the first time.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking, man, like doing fives only for like I've been in it for 2 years. Yeah. Doing only fives for 2 years, that might be a little bit crushing. I don't really know because I've never done it, but it could.
Yeah, like that's a hard way to start. Like I get the logic of it. Like you don't want to give some nobody that doesn't know what they're doing like 10 minutes is an eternity for like your first set. I usually give people five at the R Bar, but like I don't think I could have started that way. I did the opposite. Well, and like I do the storytelling thing. Like I started out doing 20-minute long like band length sets on an open mic. Yeah. So if I had to start from like small sets and build up, I would probably have had a completely different trajectory, and who knows what that would look like.
I remember my first open mic, I only did 4 minutes, and I was like, oh, when is this going to be done?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like, what? 4 minutes?
Yeah, like I had to, it was a challenge for me, and it was a good exercise, and it made me a better comic to have to, like, the first time I did a Wilser's set, and I had 7 minutes, so I'm like, all right, I've got this 20-minute ramble, let's figure out like what the good part of it is and what's important. And that was a good exercise, and I've got stuff that probably took me 20 minutes to tell on the open mic thing that are like five now, and I don't even remember what I cut out of it. Yeah. So it was all garbage. So there is, but like depending on what kind of material you would have, like you can't tell a story in 5 minutes. Like I don't know what I would do on like a late night set even, because I've seen people like, when somebody has done one bit for an entire late night set, people are like, expert difficulty. Oh my God, I can't believe he did that. And I'm like, that's all I know. So yeah, I don't know. And I have, like one time at McGill's, I think it was when you were doing the one liner, thing with Dan McCarthy, I went through like all of my material and just pulled out all of like the punchlines that work in isolation. I did like a 10-minute set that was all like,
I remember that night
between 30 seconds and 2 minutes maximum, and just kind of went through them. So I think I could, but that's not who I am as a comedian. I guess it's a fun exercise to do, and it's a good exercise to have that skill for when I need it, but I'm definitely not comfortable in that situation.
Yeah, it kind of takes your essence out of it. It would only be an exercise. It wouldn't really be John Forward comedy.
Yeah,
it'd just be too funny.
Too many laughs per minute for that.
I know, it's just they can't handle it. They gotta space it out a little bit or people are gonna have brain aneurysms.
So, blowing minds, John Forward.
Let's take another quick break. Sam, why don't you tell us about your song selection, and we'll hear that.
It is Solitary Confinement by the Weirdos.
I've never heard of the Weirdos. I'm assuming this is a punk band of some sort.
Just super underrated. LA 77 band. They had a really short career, that's why. But this is one of two songs on one of the greatest singles of all punkdom ever.
All right. Great. Well, I hadn't even skimmed through it. I wanted to be a surprise, so looking forward to this, and we'll be back with more Sam and Matt. with Sam and Matt. I went to see their farewell show at Yuck Yucks on Thursday. Travis Lindsay hosted. Chris Hovey was the opener, and then you guys tag team headlined it. Or I guess not. You weren't on at the same time. Sam was the technically co-headliner, but he went first, and then Matt went up. So that was a great show and great turnout. How do you still have more? What's the rest of the farewell tour? Is that done, or have you done any of those?
No, you're doing
Miramichi and
yeah, we got Hell's Basement in Moncton on Thursday. And Keeper's Pub in Miramichi on Friday.
Yeah.
And then Sam flies out on Saturday.
Who's doing those shows with you?
Chris Hovey is opening for Hell's Basement, and Thane's hosting, yeah. Thane Fox. And then Miramichi, we got Matt Richardson emceeing, and Joe Butler's going to open.
The local
boys.
It was a great show. I do have a constructive criticism, I guess, if you want to hear it. Or like, I think how often have you done longer sets, Sam? Like I think like all of your individual jokes were good, but I found you seem to be still kind of the structure of like a set that long. It seemed like it was a little rough. Like I think there was a really good, what I thought should have been your closer about 5 minutes before you actually ended.
Which one?
I don't remember what it was.
You can't say that and then leave me hanging.
I know. Well, we'll talk off mic if you want to remind me what the tail end of the set was.
All right.
What was with the cue cards? That was an interesting.
Yeah, you threw them all over the place. I walked in and just had cue cards everywhere.
Yeah, I like short jokes.
Yeah, I know, I didn't find it was enough of a change from like the rest of your material. Like all of your jokes are pretty quick set up punchline thing, so it almost seemed like it would make more sense for me to like tell like 10 minute long stories, and then for the end I'm gonna do like these short ones. But this was just like more.
Yeah, I don't know. I just chunked it up, and there's a bunch of shit that really didn't fit.
Yeah, and I found you to get more comfortable as you went. I find it's probably just nervousness. I know at the beginning of the set, you're kind of putting on more of a showy voice, I guess. And just as the set went, you got more comfortable and you started talking in your actual human voice instead of I'm a stand-up comedian and I've got things to say.
This is what stand-up comedians sound like, right?
Yeah, the writing's always been solid, and I am confident that you'll get there. And you guys are both pretty new, relatively terms, and you've advanced quite nicely compared to the experience that you've had. But Matt, I know you've been doing Yuck Yucks a fair often, so doing like a half hour set, you've got more experience with that, and you seemed more comfortable with it on stage.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, you were talking like you thought that you'd bombed. I didn't think so.
I just felt well. I guess it wasn't that I felt like I bombed. I pulled out a lot of newer stuff,
yeah.
That I wasn't 100% with, and I felt I had a few little lulls that
I could improve on. I didn't really think so. I thought that it was
well, yeah, that's it was that, solid. That's based trail. On, but like for setup punch, I had a few lulls.
Yeah, I suppose. But yeah, it didn't feel like a drag. Like sometimes I've seen stuff in cussing and ringing. My God.
Oh, someone's calling it live on the air.
All right, we're good.
It's pre-recorded.
Yeah, no, show. I thought it was a good show. And it wasn't like I've seen some people like in the last person that went on, like that was a dip. But no, I thought that it was structured well. And I thought that there was kind of like a good ramp up. And not that, like, I'm not, no offense to you, Sam. But
well, I feel I'm offended and I demand an apology. But
he's got more experience doing longer sets like that. And I'm sure it will come as the more you get to it.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. You asked how many times, it's probably like 3 or 4. Have I gone 20 plus?
And you, aside from the cue cards, there wasn't any the patented Sam Laidman notes. Yeah, I think you had it on the stool. You glanced at it a couple of times, but I think that's fine. And so we've only got a couple minutes left. So now that you're leaving, give us kind of a nutshell of kind of what you've learned over the, how long have you guys been? You guys started around the same. What has it been? Almost two years now. So what's been your overall nutshell experience on the St. John comedy scene?
I think for me at least, I just felt like writing often was a big thing that I felt like you need to do around here because there.
Well, there isn't a sets, lot of.
There's a, yeah, there's you lots perform
of the
so
same audience.
Yeah, there's a lot of the same audience, and you perform so far and few in between kind of things. So it's like, yeah. I just feel like the more you can turn over.
Yeah, it's tough. Like it's harder to work on bits because you can't repeat it over and over and over again because the same people are watching it. Where like in Toronto, like you can do the same set five times in a night, and the same person's not going to be in the show.
That's what I like.
No
like
one's watching it.
Last week I went to Halifax because they had a few new things that I wanted to try out before the show on Thursday, and I did four open mics there in 2 days, and I was like, all right.
Yeah, but it's also like kind of a drag when you go to those open mics when there's so many of them, and it's. There's no audience and nobody cares, and it's just kind of I sometimes do those when I go out of town or something, and it just I don't feel like I've gotten anything out of the experience any more than I would get just running it at home by myself.
Yeah, in front of, yeah, that is true. I mean, I was fortunate because one, I guess one wasn't even an open mic, it was a guest spot at Yucks, so there was an audience there.
Yeah,
but then I did that weed room that they have in Halifax and just played in front of 12 people that are way too stoned.
Yeah,
to
I've never done a weed room. I'll get a contact to Hotbox. Try it now.
That's good,
right
though. That's good
wagon.
Because that means you're not actually, you're not drinking, or you're not drinking, you're not smoking, so you're...
Yeah, so, and you guys kind of picked up the Sundale After Dark and... dragged it out of the mud a little bit, and you guys started the original roast battle and handed that off to Brian Godso and John Skov Nielsen. It's in he left it in better shape than it was when you picked it up, so that'll be your at least part of your legacy.
Stewards of the comedy community.
Do you have enough of an in with Yuck Yucks that they're going to book you as a middle there too? Like you've been doing it pretty often.
Yes and no. I did a show. Ryan, the booker, was in town, so he's seen me perform. So I've actually met him and hung with him briefly. So I know I have a little bit of an in, and I talked to him about it, and he was like, "Look, the roster out here in Ontario is huge." He's like, "So I can find you some stuff, but it'll be very limited."
Yeah.
Until you become an actual rostered comic. Yeah. So.
Yeah, there's just not enough comics around here. We got to bring Matt Keenan back every month or so.
Yeah, I'll be back. I'll be back in December.
Yeah, so quickly, before we wrap up, you got anything you want to add, Sam? What's your...
I'm going to put me on the spot. I don't know.
All right. Well, as by the time this comes out, I will have roast battled Brian Godso and... for sure one, so come see me in round two. Other than that, Friday, September 7th, Mark Splude returns, No Jokes Barred Deluxe, with me and Drake Tobias, and Arif Hussein is hosting. This has been St. John Forward Radio, here with Sam Keenan and Sam Keenan, Matt Keenan and Sam Laidman. Is the S&M podcast going to continue?
It will at some point, once
we... Right. So, for all the updates, you can check that out. Thanks for coming, fellas, and don't be a stranger.
Roger that.
Don't be a stranger.
Woo!
The end.